The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Michael Sheridan is here for The Last Word on Wheels, and we're going to talk about buying a new car for 2018. I want to start first of all with imports, because you know this seems to have been very popular with a lot of people last year. You can buy imports, I suppose, in two ways, can't you? A dealer over here will import a car and sell it to you, or you can do it yourself. And I know a few people who have actually gone over, bought the car themselves and bring it back. Is that a good idea? A listener here says, the UK don't export the cream. Generally, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. In our experience, we've had several structural issues with imported cars. If your vehicle is taken in part exchange, you'll obviously receive less for it. Now, this is a garage person that's admittedly saying this.
No, that's true. Now, there's a couple of ways of looking at it. One, when Stirling the collapse, basically, it made cars in the UK irresistible. And already this year, we're seeing an increase this month in imports. Last year was the biggest year for imports from the UK. We had over, 93,500 imports came in a market which would normally take about 45,000 on average. So there's fantastic value because they're a much bigger marketplace. They sell 2 million cars a year in the UK. So it's a great place to go if you know what you're doing. Also, dealers here selling cars, any of the reputable ones, they have people on the ground in the UK picking up the best of the machines that they can find. And you have to trust that they're going to dig deep into the car, see if there's any outstanding finance, but also see critically if there's any insurance write-off issues with them, because you would not believe how good people are at putting cars back together again, taking the end of one car that wasn't crashed and adding it to the front of another car and making a new car and then selling it to an unsuspecting buyer. Because there's lots of checks that normal human beings would never do, like checking the VIN number, which is actually visible through your windscreen down at the base of it, checking engine numbers and chassis numbers and so on. And these are things which your normal buyer won't do. But you have to trust that any of the reputable dealers here bringing cars in from the UK will have done that for you. It's the dodgy ones. It's the ones in the small ads. You've just got to be much more aware.
Yeah, because also, if things go wrong, if you bought it, even if it's an import, if you bought it here, you know the garage guy down the road, you can go and have a discussion with him. If need be, you can go and have a row with him. But if you've got it in the UK and something goes wrong with the car, are you going to go back to Bolton or Bristol or Birmingham or wherever you got it?
It is fantastic sport when you know what you're about. And if you're particularly, if you're after the bigger the car, the better the deal you're going to get. Now, we've had loads of Golfs and these type of cars coming in, and there's still great value to be had in those. But you go to a bigger size, say like Passat or any of these, or Mercs or an Audis and so on, you can really make a huge saving. But you have to know what you're about, and you have to be sure of the provenance of that vehicle.
But would you not really need to be dealing in a vehicle that's 30 or 40 grand or something to make the Stirling differential worthwhile to you for all the hassle of flying over or taking the ferry back?
The dearer the car, the better the value you'll get, the better the saving you can make. But you have to know what you're getting into when you buy it. And you know the way they're saying that we're a dumping ground for dirty diesels coming from the UK and so on. I mean, that's just one way of looking at it. What there is very good value in used cars coming in from the UK thanks to low Stirling.
What about the paperwork, though? If you do decide to import a car for yourself, you have to register it, don't you?
Yeah, now you can check you can check how much duty you're liable for, VRT. There's an online calculator with revenue to check that. So you can check that on your phone when you're in the UK on the ground buying your car and see how much you're going to have to pay when you land it here. Now, when you land it here, if the car is over 4 years old, it has to be NCT'd as well. So you're going to have to do that within a specific sort of a number of days. I think within a working week, you're meant to have arranged these things, and you'll have paperwork stuff to do. So you have to put a value on your time, the time and effort, the transport costs of, well, the one-way flight and the ferry back for you and so on, and see whether if the figures do add up. And for a lot of people, they still do add up. But for most buyers, you want to know the devil you're dealing with and help put their kids through school as opposed to putting kids in the UK through school.
Okay, a question from a listener. I don't know if this is a trick question. It comes from Galway. Oop. You start laughing immediately. Why do new cars only have the LED light in the front, daytime lights, but not in the back? Surely I would have thought I'd prefer to have those lights in the back.
You know what? It's a good point, but I suppose the greatest thing you have is in daylight, you'll have a greater contrast when somebody does apply the brakes, and brake lights are generally brighter than your normal rear parking lights. In the old wattage things, I think they used to be about 25 watts and side lights used to be about 5 watts, but now they're much more brighter. So you've got a greater contrast. So if you're following behind a car and it puts on its brake lights, you will see them more readily than if you see it already has lights on, and then they just get that bit brighter. So that's the main reason. And daytime running lights, LEDs are fantastic because unlike bulbs, they last literally, or should say virtually forever. They're very low on power usage and they're very, very bright. And again, it was the Scandinavians who gave us daytime running lights because of low light in winter. And the thing is, it's not so you can see where you're going, it's so other cars can see you. And particularly when there's low sun in winter, they make a lot of sense.
No, two listeners accusing us of scaremongering. One says it's so much cheaper in the UK. If you buy off a reputable company, I bought a 171 Focus in Leicester for £13,300, saved €6,000 after paying the VRT.
Yeah, and you know what? Congratulations. And again, you don't have to go across the water. You can just go across. We've got a lovely little place if you head up the M1. There's lovely six counties up there, and most of them will want to do deals with them, with anybody travelling up there. So there is bargains and values to be had. It depends on where you want to spend your money and where you want to leave your money.
There's a really controversial, I'm only going to read half of this, but it says dealers here are worse for clocking than ever. Bring in yokes from the UK as high spec, later models wiping 50 or 100k off the mileage.
You know what, it's funny,
that's illegal.
Clocking is illegal. Now you can change an engine in a car, you can change the clocks in a car and everything else, but you have to declare it. And anybody, literally anybody with an ounce of DIY ability and access to some electronic jiggery pokery, which you can get on eBay, can alter mileage, but it is illegal. It is against the law. Clocking happens throughout the known world, and it's not something we're going to be able to stop, but it is an illegal act.
Listener says most Renault models have rear DRLs too. Okay, another one. I work for a main dealer. We removed a device from a UK car that was fooling the car into thinking it was doing less mileage than it was. Private individuals have no clue what they're buying. With an Irish main dealer, UK import, you have warranty.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You can still have warranty on cars. Like, you can bring in a 4 or 5 or 6 year old Kia from the UK, and there's a 7 year European wide warranty on that. So, and then a lot of the big manufacturers you'd expect to have longer warranties actually don't, because they do so much volume that if they were to extend their warranty that little bit further, it would cost them an absolute fortune if they had a slight claim against something. So yeah, there's that age-old argument. It's the devil you know, the deal you know, the person who's in business, they're not going to be fly by night. But if you know what you're about, the bargains are definitely out there to be had.
Okay, listener from Limerick says, bought a Hyundai iX35 142 in Scotland, £13,000, €18,000 after import VRT and flights. Forecourt price in Limerick at the same time, 23,000. £5,000 saving, flawless car, delighted.
True. Now, also, if you are going into and thinking of buying a iX35 in Ireland, mention that when you go in. Say, hang on, I'm tempted to go across the water. Get them to give you the best price. Make them work for your business, and you'll be surprised that they will actually come pretty close to matching the price that you can get the car for abroad. It's just you have to remember the hassle and the chance and the risk you're taking. But if you do it and you're happy out, brilliant, well done you in saving the
interesting
money.
Interesting one here. Insurance companies are now asking if your car is imported. And more than likely, if it is, they're loading your premium based on
this. Well, they shouldn't be able to do that because there's no difference. The cars are homologated for Europe, their right-hand drive and so on. The only difference would be on some of them, you'd have a predominantly miles per hour speedo as a predominantly kilometres per hour speedo, but that's not really an issue. So I can't see them being able to do that.
John Galway says, a question around bringing in cars in the UK. Do you have to transfer ownership and get insurance before you can drive the car back from UK via the ferry, etc.?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can't drive on a public highway in the UK or in Ireland without insurance cover for that vehicle. So, but that's something you can do over the phone. But again, that's part of the checklist you'll have to go through if you're planning this process. There's a lot of administration on it. And really, to be honest, you have to see how much you value your time and the stress of doing that. And if it's something you want to embrace, it's a great bit of sport.
Tom and Nace, I bought a spotless 09 Civic Diesel in Staffordshire in July, found it at an Auto Trader, contacted the dealer, got all the pics, paid the RAC £250 for a comprehensive inspection and peace of mind. All in all, everything considered, I saved €1,500 on what I wouldn't have paid for the same, but slightly lower spec car in Ireland. Be mad not to buy in the UK.
You know, the best thing about that text was the getting the inspection. If you are going to spend big money, it's well worth getting an independent assessor to have a look at it. There's a lot of them. You'll find them all all easily online when you Google them in the UK. Yes. RAC do it as well. And that was 250 quid, really well spent, because there's an expert looking over to see if the car has been cut and shut, if there's any damage. And again, there's that obsession as well in the UK of salting their roads. They really lash the salt on. Even in the summertime, they'll put salt on their motorways if they feel like it. And this can cause all sorts of corrosion issues underneath and things that you wouldn't see, because a highly polished car, you go in and you're blinded by it, but you need experts to have
listener
a look.
Says, be careful buying cars in the UK. Warranties are shorter outside of the original selling market, up to half if you take it across the border.
It depends. It depends. They're all meant to honour international, European-wide warranties. The trouble is, dealers can play tricky with you, and you might necessarily find yourself being top of a queue to get warranty work done. You mightn't be seen as a sort of as a favoured customer, but listen, that's up to you and your dealer. And if you don't like the way your dealer is dealing with you, go to somebody else.
Okay, listener says, what about the trade deal with Japan? Will it make it cheaper to import cars from Japan?
I don't know what's going on there. We remember we went mad for Japanese imports a long while ago.
It was about 10 or 15 years ago.
And when we talk about sort of Dieselgate, or Britain particularly dumping all its dirty diesels on us, which again isn't exactly true, the cars that came to us as Jap imports were usually ones which had failed Japanese emissions tests anyway. So we've got a long history of taking stuff in from Japan. The only annoying thing with Japan was, and I remember buying it, I had a Japanese MR2 one time I bought secondhand, and it had a little bell which went ding every time you went above 65 miles an hour, and it drove me demented.
Because that might happen quite a bit. 30 euro cartel report will get you all the UK reports, mileage, finance, insurance and crash reports.
Yes, and all of these, there's a lot of these online and you can check them, and you can check cars here with these search engines as well. They'll offer a service, you put in the reg and then you can pay them a certain amount of fee to find out anything more about the car, whether it was written off, whether it was a fleet car, whether it was used as a taxi and so on. So there's a lot of stuff you can do to help protect yourself, and so you're not stung.
You know, we're not going to get to PCPs tonight, and probably not even to the extras in a new car, which gives us material for next week. A listener says, can savings be made by buying a new car in the UK and not a second-hand one?
No, I don't think so, because there's local taxes applied then, you know, on a new car. I think that old diplomatic thing, if you have a car, a new car, and you keep it abroad for 6 months, you can bring it back in, there's tax breaks and so on. I don't think so, because there'd be too many arguments between the distributors in the various countries about that.
Listener says, bought a 2-year-old car in a Dublin garage, but only afterwards noticed no spare wheel in the boot. Rang the garage and they said most new cars don't come with a spare, only a small compressor and a can of stuff to spray in the wheel when flat. But what's the story with the spare?
We call that gunk. You know, inflation kits, these are our mobility kits, as they're sometimes called, are utterly, they're really useless. It's all about weight saving for CO2, for tax. So if you can save weight on the car, you can actually get the car in at a lower tax band, so the price of the car comes down, not just your annual road tax, the actual price of the car comes down. So a lot of cars now do not have spare wheels. A lot of dealers will offer a spare wheel option. Usually it's about 150 quid, 200 quid. And they'll give you a space saver, you know, one of those slim tires that will fit into your car, so you'll never be stuck. The inflation kits are utterly useless if you get anything other than, say, maybe a nail in the centre part of your tire. If you get a pinch puncture or a puncture from going over a pothole, they're utterly useless, and I despise them.
One final point. People need to be made aware, savings made in initial UK purchase cars, that they lose out on a trade-in valuation in the future with an Irish dealer. People quickly forget.
Yeah, pretty much. But again, it all comes down to supply and demand. The older stuff, it depends on how many of those vehicles are in the country at the time. And what we're seeing now with last year and the massive amount of imports that came in, that is going to have a knock-on effect on used values of all cars in the country. And so again, it's one of those things where you have to watch out, that if you are going in, go in with your eyes open. But there still are savings to be had, and people are marching with their feet.
We'll come back to the extras next week and the PCPs. Michael Sheridan, as ever, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.